other. And every faith, a heart, a fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us today. And Paul, can you believe it's been a year since we've been on air with the Rediscover Hour?
A year. And you're expecting again.
I am. Yeah, I'm sort of in deja vu. It's snowy still. It's springtime, and here we are.
And congratulations.
Well, thank
you. It's a blessed event and due in
August again.
Fantastic.
Yes, so wonderful. I feel very blessed.
We'll look forward to that, and we'll look for all the ultrasounds
and
the pictures.
All right, you got it.
Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour today, Father Rocky joins us live in studio to talk about Lenten resources here on Relevant Radio. Other exciting developments and the Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat. He's speaking at that retreat this weekend.
And Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute offers a preview of his talk at the 2014 Men's Conference.
Plus, we'll share details about four evenings of Lenten reflection and learning opportunities at St. Hubert in Chanhassen.
And mac and cheese, coleslaw, find out what local Catholics say is their favorite dish in a Lenten fish dinner.
But first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of the Catholic Spirit. Latest edition just came out yesterday. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Is that right? Did I get that right?
No, actually, this is an off week for us.
I thought it was, yeah. Okay, well, so you get to slough off a little.
That's right. No. Slacking. Still a lot of news going on, of course.
Well, what's in the news?
Well, you know, the Minnesota legislature opened its 2014 session last week, and of course, lawmakers and just ordinary citizens concerned about public policy have been busy making their voices heard on a variety of issues, and one of those is housing. And advocates with the Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless gathered at the state capitol yesterday in support of efforts to expand resources to help the homeless in our state. And, you know, there's just such a great need for it. The Dorothy Day Center in downtown St. Paul is just bursting at the seams trying to meet the need. And there's something like 14,000 Minnesotans, I read, who are homeless on any given night. So, and, you know, and there's also a great need just for more affordable housing. So this Minnesota Coalition for the Homeless is putting support behind an effort to invest $100 million in bonds for our state's housing needs. And part of that money is going to help fund the Catholic Charities Dorothy Day Center Revision Initiative. And we talked about that effort several weeks ago on the show. And Catholic Charities is working to build a new shelter and a housing development, plus a connection center that's going to help people in need of services and resources, as well as some permanent affordable housing. So supporters of the Dorothy Day Center Revision were among the folks at the Capitol yesterday. And anyone who wants to know more about the effort can visit the Dorothy Day Center Revision Initiative website, and that's at dorothydayrevision.org.
Great.
Wintertime is such an awful time for the homeless.
And this past one has just been
terrible.
Horrible.
I can't even imagine. Now tell us about this Paint the Mirrors project.
I saw
something about this on the news, I think.
You know, here we are, first Friday of Lent. We talked last week about some things we were going to do to deepen our Lenten experience this year. I mentioned making time to do more spiritual reading. And Paul, I think you said you're committed to reading the four Gospels from start to finish.
I'm working on it.
All right. Well, we have a communications intern here at the office. Her name is Angela Deeney, and she's a student at the University of St. Thomas who's embarking on a very interesting Lenten activity. It's called Paint the Mirrors. And what Angela's asking people to do is really to focus on others rather than ourselves. And in the process, this is what really is going to make us more beautiful in God's eyes and the eyes of others. And she got the idea when she went on a trip with classmates to Venezuela, actually to the Archdiocese Mission in San Felix, Venezuela. So let's listen to her talk a little bit about the Paint the Mirrors idea and how it came about.
Just a few weeks ago, I was in Venezuela for 3 weeks, and there we were living very simply. We were doing mission work, so I, you know, had no makeup, had no hair stuff, and so really kind of saw that I was avoiding mirrors more because I was kind of afraid of what I'd see. But instead, I put my focus on the people in front of me, and what I was doing and what I thought was beautiful in them. And it just, it changed me. It changed my perspective, because by the end of the 3 weeks, not only was I really used to whatever I looked like, which was completely natural and just completely raw myself, but I also just felt so beautiful because I saw that as I loved others and as I helped them see how beautiful they are, it reflected back to me as well, and I felt beautiful. And so I came back, and I remember being kind of distant from the mirrors and thinking, you know, I don't want to put on makeup now. I'm so used to seeing myself without it. And that worked for a while. But then I remember coming back to school and just being surrounded again by such beautiful women, and getting sucked into that whole idea again of comparison and what that reaps, you know, in your heart and what you think of yourself when you compare yourself to others. And I didn't like that. And I felt more disconnected from the mirror than I had been because of my trip to Venezuela. But at the same time, I wanted to do something more. And because of what I learned in Venezuela, I was thinking, why couldn't that be true here? Why in this culture would that be harder to do? And so I remember thinking, oh, Lent's coming up. I can give up something, you know. And the first thing that popped in my head was this mirrors, giving up mirrors. I prayed about it, and I actually began to get really excited because I began to think of all these ideas of how it could be something, how it could be something, and not just between me and God, but really like there's a message here. And so I prayed about it, and that's where the whole paint the mirrors came to play.
Giving up mirrors, that's got to be a challenge.
So does she paint them black so she can't see in them?
She actually has painted in her mirror like a picture. You know?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, her...
To cover it.
Right. Her project is encouraging people to use the 40 days of Lent to repaint their image of beauty by covering their mirrors or painting over them and letting kind of their life and their actions reflect their true beauty.
Inner beauty,
That's the way she explains it on her website, which is paintthemirrors.com. And there's a blog on there and some information about how to join the effort. So, you know, I was reading that the other day. I don't know. You think that's something you guys could do? Go 40 days without looking into a mirror to kind of intensify your focus on others? I think it's a great challenge, but a great
concept.
It's a great idea.
I don't know if I could make it.
So people can read more about Angela's story as well on our website at thecatholicspirit.com.
And Lent is upon us.
Yeah, and you know, Pope Francis on Ash Wednesday talked about three things to focus on for spiritual growth during Lent. These are things we're familiar with: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. So if you haven't made that commitment yet of what you're going to do to make this a truly spiritual, worthwhile Lenten season, it's not too late. And I know Father Rocky is going to be on to talk about some resources.
Right.
We had some resources in last week's issue. We have some stories and information about Catholic Relief Services' Rice Bowl program, which, you know, emphasizes prayer, sacrifice, and solidarity with the poor around the world. We had some Lenten reading suggestions, and we had a story about the Rediscover Cor Jesu prayer opportunities, one coming up next Tuesday and a couple more later in Lent. And we have some basic catechetical resources about fasting and why we don't eat meat on Fridays. It might be something that you can refer people to if they ask the question.
Sure.
A few of my non-Catholic friends ask me, well, what's with this no meat on Fridays rule? So
yeah.
I referred them to the article. It's pretty handy that way. So resources there for people as well as things you can share with others.
Things are so confusing in the Ukraine.
Oh, it's just a terrible situation right now, you know, with the Russian forces in the Crimea there and efforts underway for a referendum to make that part of Ukraine, possibly part of Russia. Well, a number of Christian churches there, including the Catholic Church, and leaders from other faiths as well have been calling for a de-escalation of the tensions and the rhetoric between the various sides and calling for peace. The president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has been among those calling for prayers. Well, we have some Ukrainian Catholics, both of the Eastern Rite and the Latin Rite, here in the Twin Cities, who are obviously concerned about the developments happening in their homeland. And we'll be posting a story a bit later this morning that features comments from a member of St. Constantine Ukrainian Catholic Church in Minneapolis and the views on the situation from a theology professor at the University of St. Thomas, who's also a native of the Ukraine.
Okay.
So our prayers go out to the good people there.
Amen.
And hope that human rights, democracy, and peace prevail in the end there.
Right. Well, we've got another issue coming up on March 13th.
Yeah, and something to look forward to. You know, March 13th is exactly the one-year anniversary of Pope Francis's pontificate. Connecticut.
Oh, my.
You know, he's certainly made all kinds of news over the last 12 months. And, you know, one of the things he's done that's made a big impression on a lot of people, Catholics and non-Catholics alike, is his outreach to the poor, you know, the vulnerable, the disabled. We've seen those pictures where he reaches out to folks in St. Peter's Square, you know, and the people living on the margins. So we're working on some interviews with local people to talk about how that kind of outreach by Francis has affected them personally and how it's impacted their own faith life.
February 27th issue of The Catholic Spirit is the most recent one, and that should be in your hands before your eyes right now. Joe Towalski, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
You too. You can hear Joe every week here on the Rediscover Hour. He's the editor of The Catholic Spirit, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up on the Rediscover Hour, in Answering the Call, we speak with Relevant Radio's Father Rocky, who is with us here today in studio.
And we'll hear from the speaker giving the keynote address at the 2014 Archdiocesan Men's Conference. Dr. Doug Bushman from the Augustine Institute joins us during the second half of the show. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new building, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
All the ends of the earth, all you creatures of the sea, lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord. For the Lord of the earth, the master of the sea, has come with justice for the world.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Corey Regan.
And I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Answering the Call, we're happy to be talking with the Executive Director of Relevant Radio, Father Francis Hoffman, who you all know as Father Rocky.
That's right. Father Rocky joins us today to share information about Lenten resources on Relevant Radio, his suggestions for a Holy Lent, and much more. Thanks for joining us today, Father Rocky.
It's great to be here, Corey. Thank you very much, Paul.
You have just a wealth of information, Lenten resources, on the Relevant Radio website. Tell us a little bit about what's there.
Well, we try to help people through Relevant Radio get closer to Christ and know their faith a little bit more. So you have so many options through the Relevant Radio website or the programs that we broadcast to help bring you closer to Christ. I think with Lent, there's so many opportunities, and maybe it's helpful to keep it simple. And one thing I'd suggest to all our listeners, if you haven't listened to the Daybreak program in the morning at 5 a.m., produced by Paul Sadek, those are his, that's his voice you hear, be sure to listen either when it's broadcast in the morning at 5 o'clock, or you can listen to the archive of the show, or you can listen to it on our mobile app on iPhone or Android, because it has the readings of the day, it has the breviary or the divine office of the day, a little tweet from Pope Francis, and some reflections. So it's a very prayerful program, and I think you'll find that helpful. Also, if you go to our website and type in the word Lent, you'll find all sorts of resources there. One thing I want to ask our listeners to make sure they do this Lent is read the Pope's Lenten message. It was released about a month ago. It's not too long, about 3 or 4 pages. It's about Jesus being poor in spirit and poor in fact, and how we can imitate that. And so I'd like to call everyone to that, to go to our website, type in the word Lent in the search engine. You'll get all those resources, and be sure to read the Pope's Lenten message.
And that message also talks about the words of St. Paul, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." What do you think that means for us today, and how can we take that message into our Lenten journey?
Well, I've seen there is a correlation between joy and poorness in spirit, poverty of spirit. And many times when I've worked in third world countries, you're with the families, they literally have nothing. They don't have shoes on their feet, the roads are not paved, they don't have proper food and health care, but they have this joy, which is infectious.
Right.
And we see that in Pope Francis. He's diligently trying to live a simple life, an austere life. Not easy thing to do, trapped in the office of the papacy. But he deliberately makes these choices to live a simple life and not take himself seriously. And we see his joy. So I think there's a connection between joy and peace and poverty in spirit. And I reflect on the words of St. Josemaria. He said, don't forget, he who needs least has most.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff. Well, another thing that we'll find on the Lenten Resources page on the Relevant Radio website is a page of audio that you have presented offering some tips for a Holy Lent. Can you give us some tips for a Holy Lent right here and now?
I sure will. We'll keep it simple. One thing you want to do during Lent, if you haven't already, is go to confession.
Amen.
Pope Francis says that. Don't be scared of confession.
Don't be afraid of confession. And people say, yeah, but I'll be ashamed. And he said, shame is good.
It is scary, though.
There's
still
a reason for it.
I loved it when he said that. I wonder what the American Psychological Association would say to that. But he said, in my country, in Argentina, if you have no shame, you're called a shameless person. And the phrase is un sinvergüenza, which means you're totally useless.
It's not a good thing.
No. And when you say that word, sinvergüenza, anyone who speaks Spanish just starts laughing because they understand exactly what the concept is. So a little shame is good because it shows humility and real contrition. But I want to encourage people to take advantage of the sacrament of confession. In fact, last night when I was speaking at St. Peter's Church up in Forest Lake, there was a question about the current challenges we face in the church in this country with the scandals and all that. And I said, folks, it's not that complicated. The reason we got into the situation is people stopped going to confession. Cardinals, bishops, monsignors, priests, and lay people stopped going to confession. If you stop going to confession, the devil's going to really get you whipped up into in a bad situation. So that's the first point. I'd like to encourage all our listeners, make sure you go to confession. During Lent, make the Stations of the Cross at least once, maybe on a Friday, especially on Good Friday.
Excellent devotion.
Oh, beautiful devotion. Then we also suggest less television and more reading.
Good idea.
Less television, more reading.
Less media in general, I think. Social media, everything, I mean, can really distract you.
It can, you know, but reading's very important because when you engage the intellect, then you can move the will. And that is necessary to follow Christ and have a life of virtue. And also, Lent is a time for almsgiving. So not only prayer and fasting, but almsgiving. And what could be better than to donate to Relevant Radio? And you can do that by calling 877-291-0123. So that's my little spiel.
Thank you.
Okay.
And now let's see, looking forward a bit further on the calendar to the Sunday after Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday, something really exciting is going on. Can you tell us about that?
It will be the canonization of John Paul II and John XXIII, two popes that really are kind of the bookends of the Second Vatican Council. And it will be quite an event. Relevant Radio has sponsored a pilgrimage there. It's sold out. We also had a drawing for two free tickets. That was very, very exciting. We had like 11,000 people.
I think I entered for that.
Everybody entered.
So I didn't win, you're telling me.
Well, you didn't win, all right? But you'll be there with us in spirit. I'll actually have the chance to be there. I tell people, all I can guarantee is it will get into the country of Italy. I don't know how close we'll get to the Vatican. Everybody will be there. And it comes on Divine Mercy Sunday, which is the Sunday after Easter. And that is a universal feast day in the church, which was established by John Paul II. And it relates to this devotional we have every year, every day on the air at 3 p.m., the Divine Mercy Chaplet, which was given to us by our Lord through St. Faustina. And isn't that something that John Paul II himself passed away on the vigil of the Divine Mercy Sunday?
Is there a connection that we can make between John XXIII and John Paul II?
I would say they're the bookends of the Vatican Second Council, Second Vatican Council. Yeah. John XXIII announced it on January 25th, 1959. He died before it was finished. And then after him came Paul VI, who began to implement it. And then we had the long pontificate of John Paul II, who really tried to tease it out and put it into effect. And I think we're still trying to understand and embrace and live the what the Holy Spirit has indicated through the Second Vatican Council.
I seem to recall that back when John the 23rd announced it, all of his advisors said, there's no way we can do this.
Sure. So it had to be an act of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And his intention, yeah. What he said on that January 25th, which is the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul at the Basilica, St. Paul outside the walls in Rome, he said, we need the Second Vatican Council to update the legislation of the Church so that the Holy Spirit can be more active and not inhibited by structures which can inhibit freedom and initiative. Many times that word that he used in Italian called aggiornamento has not been properly understood. People thought that we needed to update the Church and update the Scriptures and update morality and update the sacraments. That wasn't the intention at all. It was to update the law of the Church to give people more freedom to bring Christ out into the middle of the world. And some of these things that we've seen in our own life, you know, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with new movements and organizations, institutions in the Church are a result of that.
Okay, and then you are back in the Twin Cities on May 15th for the third annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet to benefit our very own Relevant Radio here.
There's a little unwritten, undeclared, unspoken contest between the Christ Brings Hope Award Dinner in Minneapolis and the Christ Brings Hope Award Dinner in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, let's
we
hear
have
about
the better
that.
One here. There's
well,
no question.
You know, there's a lot of energy up here, and there's a lot of momentum. And we're going to be honoring Matt Burke.
Yeah.
And I had the honor to personally invite him, but he was so busy, and I was so busy, I couldn't see him in person. And the time I was able to see him in person, he was taking his kids out on the tubes, on the boat, in the lake. I said, Matt, that's more important.
Being a dad.
I said, yes, being a dad. I said, so here's the thing, Matt. We've got this event. We have an award, but it's like really, really strict who you can give the award to. The guy's got to be over 6 feet, has to be able to bench press 300 pounds, he's got to be able to run the 40-yard dash in under 5 seconds. Like, there's nobody in the Twin Cities except
anyone.
You. Could you do that? He said, okay. And I said, plus you got to be pro-life. So that's Matt. So that's great. I hope everybody can come out on May 15th to the Christ Brings Hope Award Dinner here to honor Matt Burke. We'll have a special guest, Auxiliary Bishop Andrew Cousins, and lots of the Relevant Radio fans and listeners.
Archbishop Emeritus Flynn will be there.
Oh, that's great. I'm happy to hear that.
Yep. And
you got to come on out.
It is at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Bloomington on May 15th, so mark your calendars for that.
Now, if you're listening live on Friday, there's still time to make plans to attend the Archdiocesan Lenten Women's Retreat. That's Saturday morning at St. Peter's in North St. Paul. For details, call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489. Father, you're going to be giving the retreat talks on the lost art of femininity. Tell me what that's about.
The Blessed Mother is such a great model for us about holiness, and sometimes we get confused in our contemporary culture about the value of service, right? And that is essentially what is the Christian calling. And women have a special gift in terms of service and giving affection and support and encouragement to people, which is so essential. And sometimes people lose sight of the fact of how valuable that is. Because in the Christian perspective, there's always paradox. Sometimes things don't appear to be important, which are very, very important.
True.
Right? Some things don't appear to be what they are. You know, for instance, the Holy Eucharist doesn't look like God, but it is, right? And so we'll be speaking about that. And it's going to be quite a day. We'll have coffee and donuts at 8 o'clock.
I will be there. I'm excited.
All right. And then we'll have two talks. We'll have Mass, Adoration, and Stations of the Cross. So
it's perfect.
A lot of people
too.
Have signed up.
I mean,
there's like 700 people have signed up.
Our whole neighborhood is going, all the women that...
I said, oh, my goodness, I better prepare the talks.
You better get ready. We're going to have lots of good questions for you, I'm sure. Put you on the spot.
The Holy Spirit will provide, I'm sure, Father.
Well, and it's perfect timing, you know, as Lent starts to kind of refocus.
Just as Lent starts, yeah. So I'm very honored to do that.
That's going to be great.
Anything you want to leave us with today?
I'd ask everyone to pray for our Holy Father, Pope Francis. We are living in an extraordinary historical moment in the Church. We've never witnessed anything quite like this, a peaceful transition of power from one pope to another. We're coming up on the first anniversary, and he has a mandate to little reorganization in St. Peter's for the good of the Church. But it seems what is emerging is the topic which is most on his heart and mind is not so much the reorganization of the Curia, but the family.
Yeah.
And so he summoned all the cardinals to Rome for a two-day meeting on the family, sent out a questionnaire to all the bishops around the world on the family. There will be a special meeting with bishops and cardinals and experts in October on the family, and they'll do it again the next year, 2015. So this is the big challenge we face, because as the family goes, so goes society.
I love the approach that he's been taking in many of his talks and interviews. Love first. We'll get into the details later.
That's right.
He's a good example.
And it's about the encounter with Christ. And I think the way to summarize that is Christ's encounter with Zacchaeus. Right? Zacchaeus.
A wee little man.
A wee little man that nobody liked. And there was a reason they didn't like him, because he was a ripoff artist. And,
That's right. And
it just was a vicious circle going from bad to worse, until one day Jesus walked by and reached out to him with love. He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm going to have dinner at your house tonight. He never in the world would expect anyone to be nice to him, especially God. And his heart melted. And it wasn't repentance that he experienced. It was conversion he experienced. And he said, Lord, if I've defrauded anyone, I give him back four times over. And behold, I give half of all I own to the poor. And we never hear of him again. Do you know why? He had to work three jobs for the rest of his life to fulfill his commitment, I'm sure.
I imagine, yeah.
I have a question, one more question.
Sure.
What do you do that's special for Lent this year? What, do you have anything specific that you, that's not too personal that
well,
you could share?
Well, I just started a 54-day rosary novena on Ash Wednesday, and that will go all the way until Mercy Sunday. And I try to pray all four parts of the rosary every day, the joyful, the luminous, the sorrowful, and the glorious. And I have special intentions I pray for. I have found in my spiritual life, the more you pray, the better things go. Lots and lots of intentions that I pray for. In terms of the fasting, I try to follow what St. Jose Maria used to say. Don't eat anything between meals. Have a good breakfast, have a good lunch, have a good dinner. Just don't eat between meals. And, you know, I like food. You know, that's a seafood diet, a seafood, and I eat it. All right, so I really try to put the limit there. And the other thing I do is I try not to watch movies during Lent.
Okay.
All right, I try to use that time to read or to reflect, because it it can capture too much of the imagination. So little things like that. And then, you know, for any person, it's just fulfilling your daily obligations, you know, which for many people is just challenging. Getting up on time, getting to bed on time, making sure I put my prayer in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And little sacrifices, which are part of my spiritual life. And I think the best sacrifices that you can do are things that make life more pleasant for the others.
For other people.
Right?
Right.
You
like
always
that.
Leave us a good path to follow, Father. Thank you so much for joining
us. Great to
us.
Be on your show, and thank you for the good work you're doing for the Archdiocese of Minneapolis-St. Paul.
Thank you, Father. You can hear Father Rocky's tips for a Holy Lent on the Lenten Resources page of the Relevant Radio website. And, of course, you can hear Father Rocky frequently on Relevant Radio.
And today, if you're listening on Friday, you can hear Father Rocky in a live Go Ask Your Father with students from Chesterton Academy in Edina. That's from noon to 1 p.m. today, Friday. You can also find Go Ask Your Father audio archives on the Relevant Radio website anytime.
And Father Rocky will be back in town May 15th for the third annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet to benefit Relevant Radio. Registration is open now for this inspiring event. Here are the details. It takes place Thursday, May 15th at the Doubletree by Hilton in Bloomington. The evening begins with a cocktail reception at 5:30, dinner at 7 p.m. Matt Burke will be the recipient of the 2014 Christ Brings Hope Award. Special guest, Most Reverend Andrew Cousins, Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, and Archbishop Emeritus Harry J. Flynn. Make plans to attend. Now register online at relevantradio.com. Select Minnesota Events from the Events drop-down menu.
And every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question.
Last Friday, we asked folks at the Fish Fry at the Knights of Columbus Hall in Bloomington, what is your favorite side dish for a Friday fish dinner? Here's how they responded.
My name is Dave Williams. They call me Doc. I'm from Nativity Parish in Bloomington. And my favorite side dish is when I go to the Knights of Columbus in Bloomington, and there every Friday night they have a fish fry. And they have a clam chowder that it's to die for. It is unlike most clam chowders I've tried. It's thick and it's full of potatoes and clams and all kinds of things. And it is really, really good.
Hi, my name is Beth. I'm from Nativity of Mary Parish in Bloomington. And my favorite side dish to a fish fry would be American fries.
Hi, I'm Jason from Holy Name of Jesus in Wayzata, Minnesota, and the best side dish would be French fries.
Hi, I'm Leo from St. Bonaventures, and the best side dish for a fish fry is a baked potato with a lot of sour cream and lots of butter.
Hi, I'm Jim from Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville, and my opinion of the best side dish for a fish fry is dilled red potatoes, you know, boiled dilled potatoes. I just love the taste.
Well, I have to ask, Corey, what's your favorite side dish for a fish
You know what
dinner?
I really like, and this is kind of crazy, I like the little milk cartons that they serve you because it reminds me of a simpler time when I was like in kindergarten, and that
right.
was, your lunch was brought to you, and I wasn't having to make it for 18 people in my house, and it just reminds me of a simpler childhood time, the
There's
little milk cartons.
There's much to be said for that. Well, the Knights of Columbus Hall in Bloomington has a fish fry every Friday throughout the whole year. You can see a listing of local Lenten Friday fish dinners happening around town at thecatholicspirit.com.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute about setting a steady course in life. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. At a time when most academics thought progress in civilization meant overcoming the influence of religion, the English historian Christopher Dawson dedicated his life to taking religion seriously in the study of history. A Catholic convert, he spent years in intense study and reading across cultures and across centuries. In his more than 20 books, Dawson came to articulate the essential role of religion in human culture and in the study of history. He came to the United States briefly as the first holder of the Stillman Chair in Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard University. In his little book, The Historic Reality of Christian Culture, Dawson deftly lays out his vision of faith and culture. He died in 1970 at the age of 80, and his library and personal papers are part of the special collections at the University of St. Thomas.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Now, every year, hundreds of men come together during Lent for the Archdiocesan Men's Conference.
This year, attendees will hear an inspiring message from Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute.
And we're joined today, we're honored to be joined by Dr. Bushman now for a preview. Thank you for joining us, Doctor.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be with you.
Now, tell us a little bit about Doug Bushman.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm a native of the area there, St. Paul, Minneapolis. I graduated from Edina High School and went to the University of St. Well, when I went there, it was the last year, it was the College of St. Thomas,
okay.
An all-men's liberal arts college. And so my roots are very strong there in the area. And after that, I went on to graduate school in Europe, and ever since I've been serving the church in education, basically everything you can imagine from parish, diocesan work, and university teaching at all levels.
Now, so you're the chair now of the Blessed Pope John Paul II, chair of theology for the new evangelization at the Augustine Institute. And, so you must be greatly looking forward to Pope John Paul II's canonization in April. And maybe could you summarize for us his influence on your life and scholarship a bit?
Well, yes. Thank you for asking. In fact, I'm teaching a course right now on Blessed Pope John Paul II, soon to become Saint John Paul II. And, you know, most of my adult life, he was the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
And, he became Pope during my graduate studies. And his combination of deep spiritual insight plus rigorous, you know, theological thinking, his background is actually similar to mine in Thomistic philosophy and theology. But he found a way of taking that traditional material and making it so compelling. So World Youth Days, his homilies, his encyclicals, it was really a wonderful example of how vibrant the church is. And I think that my whole generation, you know, so many people my age developed vocations to the priesthood. Some are bishops now. Many went on to religious life. Many families are living a deep prayer life and sacramental life, largely due to the influence of Pope John Paul II, not only directly, but through the bishops and priests whom he appointed and whom he inspired as well.
Now, you're the keynote speaker at our local Archdiocesan Men's Conference coming up March 12th. Theme is Set a Steady Course. Talk to us a little bit about how God sets the course in our lives, and what are we supposed to do on that journey besides just go along for the ride?
Well, now that's great. To borrow from Pope John Paul II, made in God's image and likeness, and endowed with freedom, we're also endowed with responsibility. And so John Paul too, really his whole life was an incessant reflection upon this mystery of human freedom and responsibility. So where I want to take this, and again, largely influenced by Pope John Paul II, God sets a steady course in our lives primarily through our consciences. And this is where our freedom and divine truth interact with one another. And so I want to talk about moments of truth where we have to decide between the course that God wants to set for our lives and the course that we might consider. It could come from the culture around us, it could come from the family we grew up in, the literature that we read, the television that we listen to. Unfortunately, not everybody listens to relevant radio all the time.
Right.
I can't believe it.
Lots of other things pulling us probably away from that true truth.
That's exactly right. This is why the church is so invested in and encourages new initiatives in using the media, because the media carry values. These values often reinforce things that are not worthy of human dignity, mm-hmm. and so we need Catholic media outlets, and this helps form consciences. And this is where we encounter our own dignity, and God's freedom and our freedom interact with one another. And so that's really, on a moment-by-moment basis, consciences that are formed by the teaching of the Church, by the Gospel, by God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. The law becomes written in our own hearts, in our consciences, and so the steady course is internalized, and we are, to use an expression, on the same page with God, mm-hmm. and that's the kind of holiness that John Paul II both taught and lived.
Talk a little bit about being men of conscience and allowing that conscience to be formed. Conscience seems to be a term that gets bandied about and misused a lot these days. Well, follow your conscience.
Paul, you know, that's a great... Here's what conscience and deep feelings have in common. They're both inside of us.
Yeah.
And it's not all... Unless you have a well-formed conscience, it isn't easy to distinguish between the two of them. And so the first demand that conscience makes of us is that we honestly seek the truth. We really have already not acted according to our human dignity if we don't take matters of truth, and especially religious truth and moral truth, seriously. And so the first thing that we want to develop in our children as we're raising them in families is we want to create a culture of truth. And to say over and over again, is that the truth? What is the truth? Go read the catechism. What do the popes say? What did Jesus, what do the saints say? These are ways that you develop your conscience from a very young age. And then the hope is that as you enter into adulthood, you have a regular habit of reading the catechism and turning to the church for the light by which the course is set in our lives.
And is that what you think it takes to make this God's will and his truth truly the guiding force in our life is turning to the catechism? And what else can we do?
Well, you know, that's the easy part, because the catechism is there, and
it's just
anyone
there, right?
Who asks the question, what does the Catholic Church teach, it's pretty easy to find. But where the real action is what we are going through right now in Lent, conversion. To be a man of conscience, to be a woman of conscience, but since we're talking about a men's conference,
right.
to be a man of conscience means to be really open to and to embrace the call to ongoing conversion, to be open to and to actually expect that there will be moments of truth that make demands on us, and to be prepared by going to the sacraments and by praying every day, relying on God's grace to measure up to the demands of the truth. So conversion is really the name of the game.
And we're not only called to be open to conversion ourselves, but to help create opportunities for others to enter into a moment of conversion. How can we go about that?
I think the first thing, it's a great question, I think the first thing turn to the Lord himself is make sure that we've removed the plank from our own eyes before we try to remove the splinter from somebody else's eyes.
Isn't that true?
Oh, it is true.
I mean,
and then the other thing is example, witness.
Right.
A joyful life, a life that's serious and that is focused on the truth and puts the truth first. Fidelity in sacramental life. Fidelity in marriage, fidelity to the daily duties of our vocation. These are the kinds of things that God uses to touch the consciences of others. And so in the workplace, when people are, you know, their discussion crosses a line and it becomes gossip and tearing other people down, there's that Catholic man who has a reserved silence. Why is he embracing a reserved silence when everyone else is kind of piling on the person that they're talking about? And then, of course, mercy and forgiveness, gentleness, being a peacemaker. All of these things are Christian actions that God uses day in and day out to touch the consciences of other people.
Dr. Douglas Bushman, it's always fun to visit with you, and I look forward to your return to your homeland on March 22nd.
Well, thank you so much, Paul and Corey.
Here are the details now on the 2014 Archdiocesan Men's Conference. It takes place Saturday, March 22nd, Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Adoration and confession begin at 7 a.m., Mass at 8 a.m. That's followed by inspiring talks. Our guest this morning, Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute, is giving the keynote address. Brian Bonin is offering a testimonial.
And this special morning of the sacraments, inspiring speakers, and fellowship with men of faith ends at noon. Adult admission is $20. Student admission is $10. To register, go to archspm.org and search Men's Conference under events, or you can call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information or to register over the phone. And to find out more about the Augustine Institute, please visit AugustineInstitute.org, and we've set up a link on our show page.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Dr. Deborah Savage about Eucharist and work, her topic at the St. Hubert Lenten Retreat.
And we'll run through a listing of Catholic events happening around town. We'll be right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Teach the children. Teach the children.
And with the Lord there is mercy. And with the Lord there is love.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. So what did Pope Francis say? And Father Rocky as well? Be courageous and go to confession.
I love the fact that the Pope has just come right out and said, look, this would solve a lot of things.
Right. And it's okay to have shame, right? And to be scared, but get over it and do it. And be, you know, some people I think say, you know, I confess my sins only to God. But yes, you can do that. You can say, forgive me and say your sins. But he says, Pope Francis says, our sins are also against our brothers, against the church.
Yes.
And that's why it's necessary to ask forgiveness of the church and of our brothers in the person of a priest.
And I always say too, when you break your arm, who really does the healing? Well, it's God, of course.
Well, right.
So why do you go to a doctor?
Right. Well, and okay. Also, I think there's something to be said about saying them out loud and hearing your voice. I mean,
so true.
That's way different than just doing it in your head. So let's all go to confession.
In the words of Pope Francis, go to confession.
So if you are looking for some inspiring Lenten activities, I know I am, for yourself and your teens or your kids, St. Hubert in Chanhassen has 4 nights of engaging talks coming up.
Among the speakers, Danielle Rose. I love Danielle. She'll be on our show next week. Father John Nepple, Callie Yanta, Nick Davidson, and Dr. Deborah Savage.
And we're happy today to have Dr. Savage joining us this morning for a quick preview of her retreat talk topic, The Eucharist and the Work of Human Hands, which she will be giving the evening of Tuesday, March 18th at St. Hubert. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Savage.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about that topic. It sounds fascinating. The Eucharist and human hands, almost a line that we hear at Mass, but take it apart for us a little bit.
Well, it is, in fact, a line we hear at Mass, so full title, The Eucharist and the Work of Human Hands. And not a lot of people probably realize that John Paul II argues that work itself is a means of salvation. And when it's properly understood, he says it enters into the salvation process in line with the other means at our disposal. If you think about it, we spend a lot of time working and only a certain portion of our day or our week at Mass. So if we're going to work out our salvation, the question is, where does that happen? And
right.
it actually has to happen in the whole of our lives. And so there's a profound connection between the work we do and the Eucharist. Now, what he means by work is not what we do for pay. It's not like my job or my career.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything we do. So it's making a bed, it's making a meal, it's mowing a lawn, it's giving a talk, it's teaching a class. It's all those things that we might think of as work. And so my talk, I guess, is to help people understand that everything I do in my daily life is really an act of worship and prayer. And this is a fundamental principle to our faith. The sacramental principle governs every activity and every person at every moment because we're held in existence always by a God who loves us. And so when I'm making my bed at home, I try to remember that I do that out of love for my family rather than just simply get the bed made.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, this is a reflection, actually, of the priestly office. When we're baptized, we are baptized into the threefold office of Christ as priest, prophet, and king. And our work is actually in the nature of a sacrifice. Maybe I don't have time to make my bed, but I make it anyway because I know it makes my family happy. And so that there's a connection then between the Eucharistic sacrifice and our daily work. So when the priest says that the wine and the bread is the work of human hands, it's actually a reflection of a very profound reality. When we go to Mass, when we offer those gifts on the altar, what we are offering is really, in part, the work we've done during the week, and it had better be worthy. That's the idea.
Okay. Now, I sort of use Lent as a time to sort of refocus my priorities and look at what's really most important. And what do you think we as Catholics can do to help kind of refocus on those important things?
Well, I think from the perspective of what we'll talk about that night in particular, it is to realize that everything I do every day can be a form of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful book called The Practice of the Presence of God.
Oh, I love that one.
Yes, it's fantastic. This is really the effort each Catholic needs to make every day to have this broader horizon in which we realize we are contained, we're possessed by something that leads us through our day. And so I would say that to begin my day with a gratitude for the gift of life and conversation with my Lord, and then to allow that to carry me throughout the day. And what one finds if one works that way, if one lives that way, is that the busyness that we struggle with sort of settles out. It begins to be more clear what's really important and what isn't. And one of the Mother Teresa's nuns said to me once, it's not so much how to decide between these various priorities. It's really the question, what can I turn to? What can I turn toward with my whole heart? That's the thing that we have to allow to govern our lives. And only God can help us discover that, where our heart really needs to be. And I think those sorts of things allow for a better discernment, more prudent decisions about what there's only 24 hours in a day. How
yeah.
can I spend those hours?
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, have something that I can show for my effort in my evening prayer to God. Here's what happened. Here's what I discovered. Here's what I offer to you. You know, each day must be lived that way. Otherwise, we end up at the end of our lives, you know, really realizing we weren't there for it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
My greatest fear is that I'll wake up on my deathbed and think, oh my gosh, where was I?
Right, what just happened?
So another theme of the retreat this particular evening is really contemplation in action. The human person is ordered ultimately toward contemplation and full communion with God. That's our highest good.
Yeah.
And we tend to separate our active lives from our contemplative lives. Like I pray and I go to Mass and then I go to work and
right.
I get, you know.
They're separate.
There's a gap between, let's say, being and function. And what we really need to discover through grace, through prayer, through contact with the only man who can help us, if you will, is, I shouldn't say the only man, but you know, God.
The most important man.
Yes, the most important man. pure actuality, the philosophers would say.
Okay.
It is to recall that, again, each of those activities I engage in every day are moments where this contemplative aspect can be brought into view.
Dr. Deborah Savage, it's been a joy visiting with you this morning. Look forward to seeing you at the Lenten retreat at St. Hubert's.
Thank you. Hopefully I didn't get too philosophical.
Oh,
you did great.
Well, I love it.
Lots to think about. I like
yes.
it.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, we'll see you. You can hear Dr. Savage's talks and the St. Hubert Lenten retreat. Her talk is entitled The Eucharist and the Work of Human Hands. It takes place Tuesday, March 18th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Hubert's in Chanhassen. Dr. Savage's talk is part of the St. Hubert Lenten Retreat, March 16th through the 19th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. each night. March 16th is Youth Night. Immediately following the 6 p.m. Mass, events are free. All the faithful welcome. Again, the Lenten Retreat is at St. Hubert Chanhassen. Visit sthubert.org. Or call 952-934-9106. That's 952-934-9106 for more information.
And here is a look at other Catholic events happening around town. Deepen your prayer life this Lent and invite a friend or family member to join you. Come to a Rediscover Prayer Evening. These evenings are a unique opportunity to experience Cor Jesu, worshiping Christ in our community through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. Mark your calendars for next Tuesday, March 11th at the Cathedral of St. Paul, or March 25th at St. Hubert Chanhassen, or April 8th at All Saints Lakeville. All Rediscover prayer evenings begin at 7 p.m. Details at rediscover-faith.org.
Here are the details on the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, which you heard about earlier in the show today. March 22nd, Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Adoration and confession start at 7 a.m., Mass at 8 a.m., followed by inspiring talks. Keynote by Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute, one of our guests today. The event ends at noon. Adult admission is $20, student admission $10. To register, go to archspm.org and search Men's Conference under Events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information or to register over the phone.
And all faithful are invited to the annual Chrism Mass, which will be celebrated at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. Join with others from throughout our local church in this tradition that dates back to the early church. At this Mass, the bishop blesses three oils, the oil of catechumens, the oil of the infirm, and the holy chrism, which will be used in the administration of the sacraments throughout the Archdiocese for the coming year. That's Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
And healthcare workers are invited to the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference, March 28th and 29th. It'll be at both the St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Continuing education credits are available. You can find out more. Register online at rediscoveringjoy.com. That's rediscoveringjoy.com. Or you can also find out some more on the Relevant Radio website. Go to relevantradio.com. Go to events and click on Minnesota. But to get some more information on any of the events that we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar.
And coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Danielle Rose, who brings her life-affirming message to the masses through music.
And listen to what local Catholics say about a unique prayer experience this Lent featuring communal prayer, benediction, confession, and fellowship. Find out more about Rediscover Prayer and how you can take part.
Plus, God is calling you to be a deacon, perhaps? We'll have answers to your questions about this special ordained ministry.
Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, Fridays at 9, Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m. on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.